Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe here we are in August 1st and 2nd, depending on when you're listening to this. And of course, you can, in addition to listening it on 107.7 FM, we now are streaming live on WTPLFM.com. So if you're not in the listening catchment area, you can go on WTPLFM.com. And again, we air Saturday at 9:05 and Sunday at 7:05. And today being Saturday, August 1st, if that's when you're listening to this, I'm actually in Maine, in the process of running the TD Bank Beach to Beacon, which we're Northeast Delta Dental is also one of the co-sponsors. And we're actually filming it the way we did the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race. And we have aerial of it, and it's going to be really great footage. So it'll air on various cable stations across New England. And usually the race brings close to a record because we have many, many famous athletes from Africa that come over and run the race, and then they may go down the Cape and run the next race, and then there's a previous race in Iowa. So we have a great combination of some really elite runners as well as then 6,000 of the rest of us that plot our way through the 10K. So that's what's going on August 1st. Last weekend, I had Joe Casper as a guest, and we were talking about the various things and sporting activities going on in New Hampshire, but one of which is we closed last weekend the final race of the Capital Area Races Series, which was in the Canterbury Fair area. It's the so-called Canterbury Woodchuck Classic, and then the first mile is downhill. So if you normally run like an 8-minute mile, then you do a 7-minute mile, and if you do a 7-minute mile, you do a 6-minute mile, but the last mile is straight uphill. So the tagline for that race is you'll get your fastest mile split and also your slowest mile split, you know, during the race series. And it came nip and tuck. It came down on the women's side. It came down to Kristen Dineski, a local runner from Hopkinton, and Heather Ann Searles Mahoney, who was she's a hygienist. Many people know she was actually a national champion at NHTI. I think the only one they've had as an individual. I know the basketball team has won a national championship. So she was a national champion several years ago. She now lives in Massachusetts with her husband, Chris Mahoney, who's a great runner. Anyway, she ended up just a few points behind Kristen. And then on the men's side, Patrick Ard, he got a pure 5,000, which in the terms of scoring, if you win the race, you get 1,000 and 5 out of the 7 count. So he got a perfect 5,000. So it was a great series. Thank you for all my running friends for participating, and hope to see you back next year. Now, since we're talking about sports, my other favorite sport, of course, is soccer. And every year we bring on Coach George Pinkham. And maybe at break we'll have the Hanover coach, Robert Grable, as well. But George has been a coach from Bow High School, before that Concord High School, for many years. And George, thank you for joining me this August 1st and 2nd. You're probably about to gear up for tryouts, correct?
Chomping at the bit, ready to get going.
Of course, we start sounding like our grandparents, but the seasons seem to roll in. It just seems like, you know, you were finishing up last fall, and here we are. We went through the really hard winter, summer, and when are actually our tryouts?
It'll actually be on August 17th. I think that's a Monday, when all high school boys and girls can begin soccer tryouts.
That's terrific. And, of course, you know, one of the things that your colleague Rob Grable does, he keeps all of the records of all of the coaches. And, of course, your brother Dave leads the pack with, well over 500 wins. And then there's Jim Tufts. And then there you are. You have about, what, 325 wins?
Over 300.
That's terrific.
I don't want to keep track.
It's amazing. And I still say we've got to verify this, George, but I'm assuming the brothers Pinkham, there cannot be a combination in the country that has 900 wins. So I'm going to make it a point to look that up. And of course, Rob himself, even though he's not coached as long at the high school level, he's starting to get right up on the list as well. And I see Rob Johnstone on the list as well from Lebanon at 224, and he coached the Upper Valley and the Granite State Games, which Northeast Delta Dental helped promote. And that's actually something I want to talk about during the course of the show. But I watched a few of the games, and it was great to see different high schoolers, athletes who normally compete against each other, you know, playing with each other, and it was just a great experience at Granite State Games. But let's start, George, with, since the U.S. women's team just won the World Cup, let's start with this sort of generic question. Why is the U.S. women winning World Cups, but the men's team seemingly not even close? In fact, they even lost our sort of hemispheric Gold Cup thing, which normally they won. So why do you think the U.S. men never seriously compete, and yet the women are always, if they're not number one, they're number two?
You have to understand the history of soccer and the difference particularly between the women and the men's game. Men's game have been around for 100 years or more. Women, maybe the last 50. Here in the state of New Hampshire at the high school level back in the early 1980s, I can remember specifically, I think Concord High School had their first girls team in 1985, 86. The rest of the world, in terms of men, look at soccer as the passionate game, the dominant game. They're not competing with football. They're not competing with basketball, with lacrosse, with other sports here in the U.S. that soccer does. The rest of the world has an academy set up, leagues for players, where they really pinpoint kids 8, 9, 10 years old on the men's side. The women's side have never had that. And so what you see developing in the last probably 20 years are the dominant athletic countries with a lot of athletes, particularly, of course, female, starting to kind of get ahead. The game is catching up with other countries in the U.S. The U.S. early on dominated, but this is the first World Cup they've won in a while. So it's really simply the men's game has been in place longer than the women. And here in the U.S., the men's game is not in place when it comes to comparing them to the rest of the world, and the women's is.
So the analogy I like to use is that while certainly the rest of the world is like catching up a little bit in basketball, and you'll certainly see European players in the NBA, when the U.S. puts out its best basketball players, they always win.
Without a doubt.
And so I think what I try to say to my friends who are saying, geez, why can't the men in the soccer, I use that analogy, is that, well, certainly you've got Dirk Nowitzki and a lot of great European players. It still comes down, the best player in the world is LeBron James. And when we bring our best players, coached by Coach K, to the Olympics, we win.
It's funny because in soccer, what happens is the U.S., best players, the men and the women, but mainly the men, are playing overseas now. They're competing against the best in the world in like the English Premier League, Bundesliga, your top leagues, overseas. The basketball players, your foreign basketball players, realize that if they're going to compete at that level, they've got to come to the U.S. to do it. And so that's why actually I feel one of the reasons why basketball in other countries have caught up a little bit is because their players are coming here to participate.
Exactly, and that began, of course, with the Dream Team, and they, you know, Larry Bird and Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson, et cetera. What a team that was, and of course that began, people saw how much better the U.S. were, and then they came to the NBA. So you briefly mentioned the academy, so I know we've got some pretty great athletes in New Hampshire, so do you need to go to an academy to be a professional women's or men's soccer player?
No, you don't. It's what a lot of people believe, though, because the rest of the world has done this for years. we have to do now, get these best players and start to develop them together. So we have an academy program in place like the rest of the world. Is it going to happen overnight? No. Will it necessarily be the best players? Not necessarily. But it's a first step. Do I think it will succeed? Only time will tell.
All right. So in 2 minutes or so we have before the commercial break, give me sort of the preview of this year's high school soccer. Who's the team to beat in Division III, which you're most familiar with? And perhaps if Rob joins us, he can comment on Division I.
With Division III, this year it's going to be, I think, wide open. Last year in Bow, I had the youngest team I've ever had. We're normally predominantly a senior, junior team. Last year I had 5 freshmen on the varsity team. We were young last year. This year we're not going to be really veteran. We'll have players back, but they're going to be primarily sophomores and juniors this year. I'll only have probably 5 seniors again on the team.
Well, I always look forward to following you. I mean, like I said, your record is tremendous. And again, in the spirit of transparency, one of my sons played for George a few years ago, and that really positioned him in life skills. So thank you, George, for that. Have you been affected, or have local high schools been affected by club teams at all?
Oh, sure. In Bow, the academy in particularly in the last 3 years, one thing that the academy demanded if you played academy was you couldn't play high school. And it's pretty much a 10-month program. They play fall, they play indoors, they play in the leagues in the spring, they end the middle of June, and then they start again the middle of August.
So after commercial break, we'll talk about that, because I still say your senior year in high school is the most fabulous time of your life, and I want to put a plug in for that. I'll return with Coach George Pinkham from Bow High School after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And with me this weekend, August 1st and 2nd, is George Pinkham, one of the top coaches of all time in New Hampshire. Again, looking at this head high school coaching records that Coach Grable puts together. There are many coaches that have won over 100 games, but only a handful that have won over 300. And that includes Carl Hill, Paul Bonneville, George, Jim Tufts, George Merrill, Mike Ackerman, and George's brother, Dave. And again, as I mentioned before the break, we're going to have to look at the brothers' combination to see if there's any combination across the country that has won, you know, close to 900 games. And, of course, I always like to see Jeff Pill's name there as well. He coached not as obviously as long as George, so he's got 129 wins, but he hardly ever lost at Derryfield. It looked like.
Incredible coach.
Yeah.
I Jeff is one of the coaches, if you ask guys that were around in the 80s and 90s, one of the most respected high school coaches at that time.
And I think everybody my age had kids that went to the Tufts and Pill soccer camp. Jim's brother, Peter Tufts, who was also a hockey player, and my boys played both soccer and hockey. And, of course, in those days at Southern New Hampshire, you actually had an outdoor rink. And if Rob Grable does join us, he'll tell the story of he was the last coach of like Division II hockey when they had that, and they made it to the final. But George, let's get back to what we were starting to talk about. Club teams versus high school sports. So here's Tom Raffio's bias, which is high school, your senior year as an athlete, as a parent, following a team that's well-coached and is pretty successful and a bunch of good kids. There's nothing like following that team, and it's an experience. You learn, it's bonding. I know that some of our best employees at Northeast Delta Dental are employees that played on team sports. So I always say, you know, if it was a choice between playing in my high school year fall soccer versus you know, a club team or academy team, I would definitely pick the high school team. Of course, that's my ballast, my bias. So, George, what's your opinion? And the other question, which you can also answer, is it better to be someone that focuses just on soccer or to compete in multiple sports?
I've already always stressed high school athletes, be an athlete. Be an athlete, particularly in New Hampshire. You don't get a lot of Division I, Division II kids coming out of New Hampshire in any sport that are going to get, you know, scholarships at the collegiate level. If you're an athlete also and you decide to focus on one sport, I know a lot more disappointed athletes that did that and lost that camaraderie, the relationships, the competition in other sports when they were in high school. In the state, you want to be a basketball player, you can go AAU. You can play on AAU teams, but you can also, they let you play other sports. They want you to be an athlete. In soccer and in hockey, unfortunately, with the academy teams in soccer and the juniors in hockey, they demand you only play that sport. And they don't write you a ticket, though, to the next level. And it's up to you to do that. They say it's there to help you if you do it, but you give up your high school career in other sports. And I've known, again, a number of athletes that were great players, and put all of their eggs in that one basket, but unfortunately walked away at the end, went after the graduation disappointed. Because they didn't make it to the next level.
And they missed out on that camaraderie and the spirit of your senior year. You actually have a grandson that had to make that type of decision. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Christopher. He's an athlete. He's a gifted athlete. He lives here in Concord. I'm a little biased, but watching him as a 7, 8, 9-year-old come through, I thought he was no question one of the best soccer and baseball players in the Concord area. 2 years ago, he decided to give up baseball. This past year, he gave up, really, he had to go to academy soccer. He had to give up having the chance to play at Concord High this year as a junior. He made the varsity and started as a freshman and sophomore. Again, he's a gifted athlete. Only time will tell, but he made that choice, and I hope it works out for him. But again, nothing is given to you. There was a great soccer player in Guilford, Stefan DeFrega, who played for my brother, and he was able to play club. And at that time, academies weren't around. Yet he went to Dartmouth scholarship, even though they don't give scholarships, for 4 years. And now he's playing in a professional league.
The Wilmington Hammerheads?
Wilmington. He just graduated from Dartmouth this spring.
So he played for Dave at Guilford.
He played for Dave 4 years.
And now he's playing professional.
And, you know, he didn't go through. But he, again, he had the talent. He did play at a good level. He played at a club level, but he was able to work it out. There are clubs in New Hampshire that are able and will work with athletes to allow them to play, you know, other sports too. I would hope that in the future that maybe the academies look at themselves and don't necessarily think of themselves as a money-making proposition, but more as a chance to develop better players.
I hope so, and I also hope they can collaborate with the local high school team, because, you know, I'm a big hockey fan too, and when I first moved to New Hampshire in the mid-90s, high school hockey was absolutely fantastic, and it seems like the quality of play since their version of the academy teams, you know, whatever, it's junior Monarchs, high school hockey, in terms of public high schools, is nowhere near what it once was, and hopefully that same thing doesn't happen in soccer. But I don't see it yet. I still think that soccer in New Hampshire, for such a small state, is really superior.
You mentioned like the hockey being hurt with that. Well, actually, every year the Twin State soccer games are held This is games between Vermont and New Hampshire seniors that are graduating. And it's been going on since the early 70s. And the New Hampshire teams dominated for the first 25, 30 years, won a majority of the games. But then the clubs started their thing. And so actually with tryouts, things like that, it started to actually erode the foundation, I feel, of the New Hampshire teams. The New Hampshire teams were competitive, but not, we weren't necessarily putting the best teams forward because kids were committed to clubs. And now in particularly academies, they aren't even, they can't because they are geared to academies. So we did win this past year, the boys. 1-0 for the first time in
we finally have some bragging rights.
Yes. We still lead overall, but the girls did lose, and they lead, too, overall. But that game, you mentioned hockey. I think in soccer, it showed a little bit of erosion with soccer here in the state.
Well, Northeast Delta Dental is Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, so I know some of my Vermont colleagues have players on the Vermont squad, so I can't lose, but yeah. But my heart's really in with New Hampshire in terms of soccer, so I'm glad that the Twin State Cup game maybe it'll be a trend. You know, when I was growing up, George, the American League in baseball lost every All-Star game, like, and now it's reversed.
Oh, I remember those days.
I never could win. I was a big Carl Yastrzemski fan, but, like, I don't know, he must have lost, like, 18 All-Star games along with Brooks Robinson, and now, of course, it's all switched around. So, as you've been around a bit with not just successfully winning, but you're also a great leader of young men, and as I've mentioned this before, a great turnaround example is my own son, who's now successful person out in Colorado, so I really credit George. So as you see things as a coach, what are some of the trends, say, versus when you first started in terms of what you see in the kids?
I've been telling people for years, schools in particular, have put a lot more emphasis on character development, on behavior, and I think, of course, a lot of people disagree with me, but I think kids are getting better. If there's a problem in sports, it's usually not the kid. I don't want to pick on the parent, but, you know, and to a certain degree, you know, that's understandable because you want your best for your son or daughter. But I also have had very, very few problems because I try to be upfront. I try to be honest. I try to make them understand where they sit and going into the season. And if they can accept that, then great. But I feel overall kids and young men and women are getting better.
Yeah, and the science behind staying fit and eating right and cross-training. I know we can get to the extreme, like we were saying earlier, if they totally focus on soccer. But I think, obviously, in all disciplines, the science is better out there. And I think we're all wiser. I know even in oral health, since when I started at Delta Dental, there's so much more that we now know about oral health, and I'm assuming that's the case with soccer. But it does always amaze me, though, that a little state like New Hampshire has such great players. So, George, give me, is Hopkinton going to be your biggest competition this year in Division III?
They always will be. I feel confident every year and usually picking out at least three of the four top teams. Hopkinton will always be there. Scott Sipke, their coach, does a great job with them, prepares them well. Guilford, of course, my brother's team. Prospect Mountain won their first championship last year.
Yeah, I saw that. So we're going to have you back with Rob Grable, and maybe we'll see a Dave Pinkham versus George Pinkham a contest again. Tom Raffio will return next time with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.